Tennessee falls by a score of 19-14 to Arkansas here in Fayetteville. I'm Eric Kane alongside Austin Price, Matt Ray here on the postgame mini pod. Austin, you and I kind of went back and forth a little bit in the 2-minute drill. Not many ways more we can describe this. A really good defensive effort. The defense played well enough to win this football game repeatedly. It wasn't perfect, but repeatedly gave you a chance to win. The offense just didn't show up. The offense was, quite frankly, abysmal here in this one.
Play calling was bad. Quarterback wasn't good. Offensive line didn't protect. Receivers couldn't get open. It was just not a good effort. And outside of two drives to start the second half, your two touchdowns, Matt, I mean, Tennessee offensively sucked. And the defense did do enough. They gave up 19 points. Still haven't allowed a first-half touchdown all year long. And really the one touchdown there at the end, Tennessee allowed just to try to give themselves a chance to get the ball back. They didn't want Arkansas to kick the game winner and win it 16-14 with no time left. And so this one stings. If you're a Vol fan, screaming the bucket, yelling the bucket, I mean, it's our fault, it's the coach's fault, it's everybody's fault. At the end of the day, I get it. Like, it's a big pile of suck just because, I mean, you know, you're a better team than Arkansas, but they wanted it a little bit more tonight.
You've said it a couple times tonight already, Austin. The thing for Tennessee that I think stings the most is this was one that was – it was gettable. You should have been able to win this game. You were the better football team. The defense did more than enough, really allowed 12 points up until that last touchdown. As you said, they let them score on so they could get the ball back and have a chance, and did have a chance in the end and still was not able to make the plays they needed to offensively. It was, you know, ugly even during that drive, even though you gave yourself a chance. You know, pretty poor clock management down the stretch. Nico runs out of bounds, doesn't throw that ball into the end zone to even give you a chance to win it. So, just ugly all the way around.
I thought the coaches really struggled adjusting to what Arkansas was doing, especially the offensive coaches. I thought Josh Heupel struggled with clock management at the end of the game after the Dante Thornton big play. Eric, you had 35 seconds or thereabouts, and you had two timeouts. You could have taken one,
yeah,
and kind of settled everything down. You were down almost to the 20-yard line, and you know I like the play call on the Kitzelman route. Tennessee just didn't pull it off so close, but you know, then at the end of the first half, and I asked him about it. You know, I said, you know, why did you elect not to try the 55-yarder with Max Gilbert? In pregame, he was legitimately kicking 60-yarders and making it rather easily, kicking it into the net.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's a different – that was going a different direction, wind. And I'm like – I remember looking at – there was no wind. Like, there was – I mean, it was hot in the press box. Like, there was no wind. Like, there was – it was – I just didn't understand why he didn't attempt it there at the end of the first half, because that would have – you know, if he'd have made it, it would have made it a tie game. So, I mean, like, just some bad clock management, some bad decisions. And then, of course, Jordan Ross with that awful, awful roughing the punter that gave Arkansas at least 3 points.
Yeah, a lot to unpack right there. Let's stay with the clock management. Before the half, I completely agree. I don't know why you didn't attempt that when, obviously, points were so few and far between. Give yourself a chance to get there, and he's been one of your better weapons this year. I thought prior to the last offensive drive of the game where you were trying to go down there and score and win it, when you still had the lead. Well, I mean, you were snapping it with 16, 17, 18 seconds left. Like, what are you doing? Like, you did everything you could to win the football game at Oklahoma, and I thought it was a brilliant coaching job. You are snap. I mean, you have a microphone. You have a microphone into the quarterback's ear. Like, tell him to slow his roll, waste time. I mean, that was flat out horrendous in my opinion. And then on that final drive, yeah, I mean, me and Matt are looking at here right now in the stats. You had the big splash play to Dante Thornton, and that was a first down. You had 35 seconds on the clock. You do not take a timeout. The next time you snap the football, incomplete pass to Miles Kitzelman, there's 17 seconds on the clock. That is just horrendous. Again, while the fact you did not take a timeout there, that was really bad. So I thought, and again, it's a bad game. Everybody has a bad game. It is what it is. I thought coaching was really bad in this game. And then Austin brought it up, Jordan Ross. I don't want to hound the kid. He's a true freshman trying to make a play. But we talked about it on the field after the game, Matt. That block punt, scoop and score touchdown against UTC was not a called block punt. Yeah. Okay, they were in – Austin asked Josh Heupel tonight, That was not a called block there. That was a punt safe. Okay, he is the contained player. He is not supposed to go out there and try to block the punt. And that's what he did. He's going to learn from it. But that was a critical point in the football game because it put your defense already did its job. And it put your defense right back out there. And, of course, that's when Arkansas went the length of the field and got some points.
Yeah, I mean, you have to avoid those types of mistakes on the road. Those are what lead to results like tonight. Back to the clock management, too. I think something that's maybe lost in there is after the Dante Thornton chunk play, you take 18 seconds off the clock, change reset. So you take even more time than that, realistically, in terms of real time.
Yeah.
Change reset, you're in Nico's ear. You throw it out to Kitzelman, falls incomplete, 17 seconds left. The next play is hits Nico in the hands and bounces to Dylan Sampson, who makes something out of nothing. But then you have to burn your time out.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to burn another time out. Like, I think that play's maybe lost in the mix, too, because all of a sudden, you know, you don't get another throw. Like, yeah, you don't get another shot. Like, that's something that's lost a little bit.
Yeah, Austin, that was almost a busted play. The game was almost over right there. You're fortunate that it went straight to Dylan Sampson, but Matt's exactly right. He gets lost in the shuffle. You are forced to call a timeout after that play, too, and that wasn't even the play you were trying to run.
No, you know, again, like, they've got to go back and clean some of this stuff up. At the end of the day, you're 1 week into October. After a perfect September, you're 0-1 in October. As Josh Heupel said afterwards and reiterated to his team, everything you want to accomplish is still right in front of you. Everybody but Texas and the SEC has a loss. The first week of October, everybody, look at the carnage that was today. I mean, it's wild how many teams in the top 10, top 5, are losing to teams that aren't ranked. Welcome to a new era. Here's the problem, though. I think for Tennessee to get to the playoff, they've got to get to 10-2. To get to 10-2, in my opinion, you've got to sweep the next 2 weeks, which, as we said here in the early morning hours of November 6th, feels like the Grand Canyon away, right? Like, I mean, nobody's going to, you know, everybody's living in the here and now, and, you know, fans are mad. I mean, I don't know how many threads are on General's quarters about Nico and $8 million and wasted money.
Yeah, I mean, I get all that, too.
We've known this from the moment he signed. He was going to be the ultimate litmus test for this. They were going to go, oh, that was fun, let's do it again, or, oh, God, that's awful. It's a new era where these fans feel like they own a piece of everything because they get $5 or $10. And don't get me wrong, like, you know, they do. It's like, you know, owning the Green Bay Packers. They own like a 0.5%. But it, you know, they don't, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you still have to do these things to have success. Like, you know, I mean, Alabama lost at Vanderbilt today.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami put all that money into Cam Ward and everything. They're getting beat 3 touchdowns as we tape this after the game, you know, at Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, you go right down the list. I mean, Missouri put a bunch of money into Williams-Mineri and all those players.
And they were losing 34-0.
Yeah, and that's my point. It's like every team, quit bashing your quarterback. He's your quarterback. Like, I get it. He wasn't his best tonight, right? Like, he still flashed, but he's got to be better. He's got to learn from some of the stuff that, you know, he struggled with tonight. Just like the offensive line does, they've got to be better. Glenn's got to be better.
The coach has
got to be better. Joey's got to be better. Josh has got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. The defense held it together for the most part tonight and gave Tennessee an opportunity to win this game. They didn't, though. Okay? It is what it is. You got to move on. Like, you know, suck it up, as Pat Summitt would say, and move on to next week. Figure out a way. Because guess what? Nobody gave Vanderbilt a chance in the world of winning that game today based off of what happened last week. It's a week-to-week season. I used to think that was the stupidest slogan. The coaches would say that stuff. But the facts are, it really is. Every week is different because guess what? They're 18 to 22-year-olds who have girlfriends and math tests and now money. And so they ride this roller coaster. And guess what, fans? You're going to ride the roller coaster just like we do it covering this team. It is what it is. Some weeks you're going to go, man, they were awesome. And some weeks you're going to say, God, that was trash. That is what it is. Again, they suck tonight. They've got to get better. Rant is over. Moving on.
Frustration, certainly.
Well, I mean,
we all get it.
Again, I'm reading the board. I'm not going to delete these posts because people have a right to complain unless they're really taking a personal shot at someone. Okay? I get it. Like, I get the fans are mad. I understand. You think it's fun for us to come out here and watch that? It's not.
And then deal with the board?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I get it. Like, I understand. Like, everybody that's complaining, I get it. Some of them that only come out when they lose,
yes,
stay in your hole, okay?
Yes. Like, I said hello to a few of those tonight.
You know, like, yes. Listen, if you want to complain and brag when things go great, I'm all for that. You can have a voice, but don't just come out when things go bad. They're going to happen. It's like I said pregame. Yeah. What did I say? Taylor Green's going to make some plays. And, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen. Like, this is the 85 Bears. It's a great defense. They did a great job tonight. They gave up some third downs they shouldn't have given up and stuff. But on the whole, you know, they didn't allow them to score but one real touchdown. I know they got them one there with a minute and a half to go, but they let them score because they didn't want to leave no time on the clock with a field goal and not give their offense a chance. So, I mean, I don't know. I get why fans are upset, but you just have to understand that this is the era you're in now. It's not the same. The problem is, again, because the money's involved, fans are going to be a little bit more opinionated than they've ever been. And this is a game that Tennessee should have won. They let them off the hook. Arkansas wanted it just a little bit more than Tennessee did tonight. And they figured out a way to kind of thwart Tennessee, befuddle Tennessee. Tennessee's offense was not very good. They've got to be better. They have to be better. Now, if you'd won tonight, you would have been 5-0. You'd have been coming home for this four-game homestand. You know, but you didn't. You got to sweep the next 2 weeks. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out starting with Florida, a Florida team that's got a little bit of momentum, and Billy Napier's certainly still trying to coach for his job.
Get the frustrations, Matt, certainly. I think the only silly part about that is the ones where they say it's the mod's fault for losing. That always cracks me up. But back to the game. We got a couple minutes left here. Back to the game. I thought, obviously.
Sorry, I took the entire podcast.
You did. I'm just hoping it's not overmodulated. You know these mics. I thought the offensive line obviously had a rough night. In going with that, okay, and just from the casual, sometimes I'm just watching a play and I'll be like, oh my God, the offensive line sucks, whatever. Go back on replay, I'm like, oh, dude, Dylan Sampson, what are you doing? Deshaun Bishop, what are you doing? I mean, I thought the running backs and pass pro, and I'm not a coach, I don't know exactly every single assignment, but it was pretty obvious they were really bad in pass pro tonight. Tight ends early in the football game as well when they stayed in. That has got to improve. I mean, that's got to improve in a major way because we've seen that a couple of times. Saw it 2 weeks ago at Oklahoma. That reared its ugly head again tonight, and I thought that the running backs had a really awful night in pass protection. And it looks bad on the offensive line, but it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. Tennessee tried, seemed like, multiple different ways to protect Nico tonight. Protecting him with 7 against 4 at times. It limits the offense. It limits the play column when you do that because you don't have guys out in routes. And when you're only protecting against 4, you've got 7 dropping in coverage with, you know, 3 guys out in a pattern. You know, that's tough. And, you know, I think North Carolina State kind of laid that blueprint out there, but Tennessee was just able to hammer them during that game. You know, they weren't able to.
A game that feels like 4 months ago.
4 months ago. Yeah, absolutely. you know, they weren't able to have that success tonight, but I want to go back to 2 things from AP's rant. One.
I mean, it just never ended.
I'm just reading the board. I get their frustration. I really do. I understand. Like, if I were them, I'd be frustrated too.
Absolutely.
But you can't throw everything about the money back out there. Like, it just does not help things because guess what? This era's not going away, guys. If they're not paying $2 million for this guy, they're going to pay $2 million for somebody else. Look at all these other schools that paid all this money for kids that lost today. Is that wasted money? I mean, like, come on now. He's, again, in his 5th start.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to go to. He's in his 5th start. He didn't play a ton of quarterback in high school. He has still flashed tremendously through 5 weeks. There's 2 throws he's made in 5 weeks that I'm not sure that 2 other quarterbacks in the country can make. The throw to Dante Thornton tonight and the touchdown to Miles Kitzelman that got called back against NC State. He's still learning. This team has a chance to get better. Now they've got to do it with their back against the wall, with a Florida team coming to town that, as AP said, is capable of beating you, and Billy Napier is coaching for his job. coaching for his life right now in Gainesville. You know, you have to go back. You have to clean a lot of things up. But from top to bottom, Tennessee has to be better. And Josh Heupel said as much. Starts with him, and it goes down the line. And, you know, that's pretty much as simple as it is. But I can promise you, given the struggles, given the inconsistency, given the running out of bounds at the end of the game,
yeah, it was a bad.
You want Nico to be your quarterback of this team. That's as simple as that. Money, no money, whatever. You want to roll with A right now.
Yeah, we've second time recording this podcast. The first one was technical difficulties, so I can't remember if we actually talked about the last play of the game. If we did, apologies. I mean, that's tough. You know, Austin, you ask about
it.
You can't do it. He wasn't here in 2021, but oh my God, every Tennessee fan, including the three of us up here watching that game, is like, what are you doing? Give yourself a chance. He kind of said the ball was slipping out of his hands. He was looking for Chris Braswell to get open. Like, I get all that. But
I didn't really understand the
but
answer.
But, like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, you've got to know that, and maybe he didn't, but you got to know that's the last play of the game. And, yeah, you'll learn from it, but, boy, that's tough to swallow, and it's happened twice in 3 years.
It has. As Josh said, the first one was with a veteran quarterback. This is with a guy in his fifth start. But, you know, that's where Josh Heupel and Joey Halsley have to pull them over there and you know, in the stoppage there at the end of the game and go, hey, listen, unless you can get something quick and we can get a timeout,
Yeah. You're
going to have to put it in the air to the end zone. Running, you're not going to run. Nobody. It would have been the most amazing run of all time if he had ran from 21 yards out for the touchdown.
Like, and that wasn't going to happen. Maybe it's so self-explanatory that you're not going over that, but maybe that's an issue if it is. Like, or constant reminders. Like, you have a microphone in the headset. You got to say, yo, hey, got to take a shot here. Got to take a shot. Can't take a sack. This is the last play of the game. And then again, there was a timeout before that, so all those things should have been rehashed.
Yeah. You know, they should have. And again, these are all teaching moments for everybody. You know, as I said, you know, at the beginning of my rant, you know, you have to be better if you're Josh Heupel. You have to be better if you're Nico. You have to be better if you're Glenn Ellerbe, if you're Joey Halsley, the receivers. And then now you've got a couple of, you know, receivers banged up with Brew and Squirrel White, you know, leaving the game in a sling and in a cast. And, you know, I mean, Mike Matthews, who did play more tonight, you know, I mean, the problem is they just couldn't get open, couldn't, you know, find anything going in the passing game. Again, gotta figure out a way to flip it next week at home.
Yeah, no matter what, just like, you know, we're talking here with us, like we do each and every work week, we flip it. After tomorrow night, we're flipping it literally to Florida. This team has absolutely got to flip it. Fans got to flip it. You just got to move on. And, you know, because there's a game to be played here in less than 7 days, and it's going to be a big one because, as you pointed out, Austin, Tennessee needs to win it. And, you know, focus on winning the game after that as well to keep college football playoff hopes alive. Ugly night, ugly game, no ifs, ands, buts about it. Defense did enough. Defense played well, played very well at times. Should never have to try to win a game scoring 14 points. Offense, an embarrassing night. And that's been rehashed, and we'll continue to talk about it as the days go on when we look back at this game. Final score, Tennessee 19, Arkansas 19, Tennessee 14. This has been the Postgame Mini Pod. I am Eric Kane alongside Matt Ray and Austin Price.